Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, November 18th, 2015, episode 11.16, the Week 11 preview show, or the it's just a little past the halfway point of the season, so let's start to panic and make all kinds of changes show. That's what it is. New QBs in St. Louis and Denver. What? That's right.
What?
The Saints finally do something that they should have done a very long time ago. And guess who's back for the Dallas Cowboys? Plus, Andy Dalton and J.J. Watt going at each other. So much to talk about. All the games. We've got a guest picker. Let's chop it in, and we'll chop it in with the Dirty Catfish Brass Band. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Oh, once again, thank you very much to the Dirty Catfish Brass Band with their rendition of Chomp It In. Really cool. I like it a lot. Gets me motivated and fired up for this week because, you know what? Let's just start with it. Tony Romo's back. How about that? Tony Romo is back. And that makes me all happy and gets me all giddy all inside because I no longer have to see mediocre offensive football from the Dallas Cowboys. Thank you very much. I am so, so very happy that Tony Romo was back for the Dallas Cowboys. So much so, they released Brandon Whedon. That's what's going on in Dallas. They also got rid of running back Christine Michael. They're sticking with the Darren McFadden show. So that's what's happening to Dallas. Bottom line, Tony Romo comes back. He tweets out a picture of the movie Major League, where the team's basically just sitting around in the clubhouse where their manager has just basically told them that their owner is just trying to make sure that they lose because she wants them to have the worst record in baseball so that she can move the team outside of Cleveland. And they're all just kind of bummed, basically saying that, yeah, they're all going to get replaced. The catcher stands up and says, well, I guess there's just one thing to do. And the guy says, what? It's like, win the whole blank thing. And that's what Romo put up. He tweeted a gif of the catcher standing up and saying, I guess there's just one thing left to do. What? Win the whole blanking thing. So, very optimistic there. Of course, you know, you look at the schedule. They got the Carolina Panthers. They got the Green Bay Packers, the New York Jets, and the Buffalo Bills. I think the other games against Miami and twice against the Redskins are all winnable for the Dallas Cowboys. But you know what? When Romo puts that up, they're all winnable. Heck, go 7-0 right on into the playoffs with a 9-7 record and make some noise. I hope Tony Romo does it because that's the kind of guy that just come back and tell people, see, had I not been gone, we'd be 8-1 right now or something crazy like that. They probably would. But anyways, that's beside the point. Romo's back. That's a good thing. Brandon Whedon is out. Another big name that is out for the Denver Broncos. It turns out Peyton Manning and his horrible 4-interception performance was because of a plantar fasciitis, a tear in the bottom of his foot that made worse against the Kansas City Chiefs last week. Well, in comes Brock Osweiler. It's Brock Osweiler time. There you go. The only question remains there is if Brock Osweiler performs well and the Denver Broncos win football games without Peyton Manning, will they allow Peyton Manning to come back and be the starter once he's healthy? Remains to be seen. Maybe it is the end of Peyton Manning as we know him and we won't see him anymore.
and kind of bad way to go out. You know, you break the yardage record, and then in the same game you throw four picks and get benched, and then you never come back again. That's not obviously how Peyton Manning wanted to go out, but still a lot of football to be played. We don't know. Maybe Brock Wilder comes up and he stinks up the place like most backup quarterbacks have been doing lately, and they decide to go back to Peyton Manning. The St. Louis Rams, they're also making a quarterback change. Nick Foles, the guy they went out and traded for, traded Sam Bradford away for, is being benched in favor of none other than Case Keenum. That's right, you heard me correctly. Case Keenum will get the start for the St. Louis Rams in place of Nick Foles.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Then we have to give it up for the New Orleans Saints, who I've been saying that they needed to do this for a very long time. They finally did it. They got rid of Rob Ryan. Their defensive coordinator has been fired. Settle down, people. Settle down. Settle. There you go. Settle. Settle. There's a lot of applause for that, but their offense, their defense has been bad for quite some time. The fact that it took them this long to finally fire Rob Ryan makes you kind of wonder what took so long. Why now? Why week 11 of the NFL season? Why not just let them finish the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and see how it plays out, and then you make a change in the offseason? Saints decided it's enough. We don't want to see it anymore. So there you go. That's all the news. I mean, there's a lot of other news. Aldon Smith finally getting suspended by the league for a year. That's Raiders linebacker Aldon Smith, basically for the altercation of getting a DUI violation when he was with the San Francisco 49ers last year. The DUI not just a DUI, it was a hit and run, and there was vandalism all attached, and basically that arrest prompted the 49ers to release Aldon Smith. He was picked up by the Raiders, and he didn't even get to play the full year there. He has now been suspended for a year, and I would say that it's going to be very difficult for him to come back and play in this league. It was his fifth arrest, and although he was very nice, he said in a statement that he wanted to thank the Raiders, his teammates, the fans, the coaches, and the owner for showing support through all of that. He's going to take some time to work on himself. So there you go. He's suspended for a year. That turns out, the Raiders took a gamble, and it kind of worked for a little bit, but that's about it. The Andy Dalton, J.J. Watt, kind of like, hey, J.J. Watt saying that he turned the red rifle into the Red Ryder BB gun kind of jab after Monday Night Football when the Houston Texans shocked the Cincinnati Bengals and beat them 10-6. J.J. Watt said, you know, he wanted to turn Andy Dalton. I didn't even call him Andy Dalton. He said we wanted to turn the red rifle and make him the Red Ryder BB gun. And Dalton said that was unwarranted. He said that he didn't believe that something like, you know, from one of the best players in the league should be kind of like, you know, saying stuff like that. You know, now he's come back. He's kind of backpedaled a little bit, said, hey, you know what, maybe I was a little quick to respond that way. They said he hadn't heard the interview. He didn't know the context. And basically someone had just told him what it was. He answered that question without actually hearing what J.J. Watt had to say, really, and could tell that he was just kind of joking around, didn't really mean it in a mean way, and so he probably just overreacted. And that's what happens. You know, it's the end of the game. J.J. Watt's obviously very happy. They went in. They beat somebody who nobody gave them a chance to beat. I don't think anybody had Houston winning that football game. And they pulled it off. Made a cute little comment. He thought it was, you know, just, you know, poking fun. And when Andy, he doesn't hear this himself. He doesn't see the video. He just hears, hey, did you hear that J.J. Watt said XYZ? And immediately right after the game, he's going to be like, well, that's not cool. And it's not cool to hear that immediately right after the game. But now he's had some time to think about it. Yeah, they're going to be all right. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to be all right. Houston Texans, not so much. You know, we'll see. They're in a division that's pretty crappy. Everybody's got a losing record, I think, in that division. I'm verifying that right now since I am my own researcher and prognosticator and producer and the whole works. But as I research that division, I am correct. Everyone has a losing record in that division. Colts and Texans sit atop the division at 4-5. One game behind them is the Jacksonville Jaguars at 3-6. And two games behind them are the Tennessee Titans at 2-7. Everyone has a losing record. Someone's probably going to win this division with a losing record. 7-9 will probably get it done. And it might be Houston, but most likely will be the Indianapolis Colts. If they can survive these next few weeks without Andrew Luck. All right, got to get to the games. Lots of games to talk about, and I don't have a lot of time. Only two undefeated teams left. As I said, the Cincinnati Bengals' undefeated season came crashing to a screeching halt as the Houston Texans pulled off the improbable upset 10-6 on Monday Night Football, knocking me out of the survivor pool. I'm very bummed about that because there was only going to be Cincinnati won. There was going to be about 20 people left, and I was going to be very happy about that. Well, Cincinnati lost. It actually knocked out 15 of us, so now there's only 6 people left. I'm sure those 6 people are very happy they did take the Bengals, and I'm shooting myself. I normally never take a Monday Night Football game in Survivor. I did this time without even looking at the whole schedule, and I'm bummed out right now that I am not a part of those 6 that are remaining. That being said, we'll start with El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana, which also brings back the Cincinnati Bengals. Here we go. El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to Arizona to face the Arizona Cardinals. Cincinnati. Oh, you know what? I haven't even said who the guest picker is. J.D. Ollett is the guest picker this week. He is representing the fans. J.D. was kind enough to spend an hour or two from his busy work schedule to send in some really nice responses to all the games that we differed on, as well as all the games that he picked, really. So, without further ado, we'll start with the Cincinnati Bengals at Arizona Cardinals. As I said, Cincinnati's coming off that very, very disappointing loss to the Houston Texans. On the flip side, the Arizona Cardinals are coming off a great, and I mean great win, as they, you know, went into a hostile environment up to Seattle to play the Seahawks, and they got the win there. So Arizona's looking really hot. Cincinnati kind of crushed my dreams, and so I'm not ready to jump on their bandwagon really quickly, especially on the road at Arizona, a team that seems to be hitting all cylinders on both sides of the football. Offensively, I think they're ranked number 2 in the offense. Defensively, they're doing pretty well and looking pretty good. Special teams, they got a player in Patrick Peterson who can return the football from anywhere on the field. So I am liking the Arizona Cardinals. This game has been flexed into Sunday Night Football, so it'll be the late game. Again, Cincinnati, big stage, prime time, just don't seem to think that they're going to get it done. So I like the Arizona Cardinals. JD, on the other hand, he likes the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's see what JD has to say about this game, shall we, friends? He says, I almost want, that's the wrong one. He's like, no, Bad Tigers. You're not allowed to have your actual name back until you can prove yourself trustworthy of it. It's like, the Texans, you mugs. Huh. I do still believe in the Bengals, though, and to be honest, it all depends on their postseason performance before they can legitimately be considered a top-notch team, and they should be fuming after the loss to the Texans, and angry. I'm expecting this to be a physical game with their firebrand leader driving them on. I'll probably pick this as El Juego Grande, but you don't do that. I get to pick El Juego Grande, depending on la semana, particularly given the other draws on. All right. So, yeah, you don't get to pick the El Juego Grande, the challenge game. No. El Juego Grande. It is El Juego Grande. So you're right. You got it right. I don't even know. I'm thinking about the challenge game. I picked the challenge game this week. I'm not sure I'm ready to make the big game of the week, the challenge game. Maybe. Depends on the others. We'll let it sit there and percolate. I've got Arizona. He's got Cincinnati on the road. But he didn't really say why. He says he's mad at them. Is it going to be mean and angry? Because that's what they are. They're the Cincinnati Bengals. Mean and angry. Hear that Bengal growling. But I don't think. Not this week. They've come back down to earth a little bit. Arizona will put them in their place. Then they'll move on. I still think they will win the division with not a problem. But it's going to take them a couple weeks to bounce back from that humiliating loss last week. I like Arizona. Let's get to games of the week. Right off the bat, JD and I differ again. We'll start in New England with the New England Patriots coming off that late second Steven Gostkowski 55-yard field goal to beat the New York Giants at the buzzer win against the Buffalo Bills. Now, before you all start yelling, KD, Nacho, all you other Patriots fans out there, I am taking the Buffalo Bills. Let me give you a reason why. New England lost Julian Edelman, probably for the rest of the season. He may come back for the playoffs. We don't know. They had already lost Deion Lewis. And combined, those two guys made up 40% of the Patriots' offense. Listen to that again. 40% of the Patriots' offense went away when Edelman got knocked out of the football game by breaking his foot. Now, the New England Patriots are as good as any team in the league of just next man up, substituting somebody in there, and getting going. But here come the Buffalo Bills off a huge win against the New York Jets. On the road, it was Thursday Night Football. They've had extra days to prepare for the Patriots. Without Deion Lewis and Julian Edelman, the Patriots are a little suspect. That offense did not look as good once Edelman got knocked out of the game last week. And the Buffalo Bills have to grow up in this football game. This is why I'm taking the Bills, because it is now or never. If you can beat the Patriots when their backs are they're up against the ropes, and they don't have their number one running back, and they don't have their number one wide receiver, and they're struggling. If you can't beat them now, you're never going to beat them. I like Buffalo to win this game. JD likes the New England Patriots. And let's see what JD has to say about this football game. He says, come on, they're out of order because I've got my games out of order, of course. He says, the Bills at the defending Super Bowl champs, I figure there's a good chance you're going to read this out directly, so I thought it would be fun to put defending Super Bowl champs in here as many times as possible and hear you wince on air. So, the defending Super Bowl champs have had a stellar season so far, defending their previous Super Bowl winning season. JD, you're angering me right now. They haven't lost a game since they won the Super Bowl in spectacular fashion, and Brady has shown himself to be in excellent Super Bowl winning form despite being 38. Buffalo are no slouches, of course, but they didn't win a Super Bowl last year and don't have the defending Super Bowl champs record. That being said, it is a divisional matchup for the defending Super Bowl champs, and those are always unpredictable. The Bills know the chinks in the armor and will exploit it. This should be a fantastic game. Defending Super Bowl champions, dot, dot, dot. That's 9 times by my count, not even 10. Good, because if you had written it one more time, I would have gone to wherever it is you are in this whole world, and I would have smacked you in the face. Oh, seriously. All right, there you go. I hope that makes a whole bunch of New England fans happy. Thank you, JD, for the little humor there. He's got the Patriots. Another game that I can pick. I like Buffalo. He's got New England. Moving on, Minnesota at Green Bay, where the Green Bay Packers on a three-game losing streak. That's right. You heard me correctly. The Green Bay Packers on a three-game losing streak. The Minnesota Vikings sit atop their division by themselves in the NFC North. You have the Vikings at 7-2, followed by the Packers at 6-3. This is a huge game for both teams. Minnesota says, take us for real. We are legit. Adrian Peterson is running like a beast. I think they said that he is ahead of his pace when he almost surpassed the single-season record, already rushing for over almost 1,000 yards. Incredible there. Green Bay doesn't have a rusher, on the other hand. They tried James Starks last week. He was so-so. Eddie Lacy's still kind of on the shelf. Green Bay needs a win. They need it badly. I don't think they get it. That's right. You heard me correctly. I don't think they get it. But they do. Who am I kidding? The Green Bay Packers haven't lost four games in a row since, I don't know, you have to go back a very long time. They know they need this one in the division. And as good as the Minnesota Vikings are, you know what? I mean, I might be changing my mind. I might be changing my pick right now in the year. I'm talking to myself. The Minnesota Vikings have done everything that they've needed to do to win football games. They're getting after the quarterback. They made Oakland look really bad. I mean, Oakland had been looking pretty good this season. The Vikings made Oakland look bad last week. I think they get after Aaron Rodgers. The Packers just lost to the Lions, something that they hadn't done. They had not lost to the Lions in Green Bay since 1991. Woo, that's a long time. I like Minnesota to stake their claim on this division, say you're going to have to come and take it from us. They're at home. I like the Vikings. They're one-point favorite. Trisha's special, upset special. I'm taking Minnesota, and JD likes the Packers. He says, damn, the Vikings have been good this year, or have they? Most of the first half of their season has been a stroll down easy street. Lions twice, Rams, Bears, Chiefs. Seriously? And now they're looking down the barrel of a serious whooping. This is the Vikings' awakening, I think. They've got Green Bay, Atlanta, Seattle, and Arizona before a brief respite of Bears, Giants, and then Green Bay again. Ouch! Green Bay should beat them, though the Vikings are good enough to be troublesome. I don't know. Green Bay should beat them. Maybe if they were completely healthy. Offensively, there are problems in Green Bay. I think Minnesota will exploit that. I'm going to stick with my decision to change picks. Make sure, mental note, Steven, bloop, 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 make sure that you change the pick to Minnesota. Indianapolis at Atlanta. The Atlanta Falcons coming off a bye week. Got the Indianapolis Colts at the right time. No Andrew Luck. So I like Atlanta's chances. JD has Atlanta as well in this one. He is taking the Atlanta Falcons, and he says, go Falcons. Couple of perplexing losses. How did they lose to the Saints? I don't know. But on the whole, a strong team. And getting back to where they should be, where they were whooping everyone back in 2010-2012. Colts, total train wreck, and Luck has Luck shaved that stupid beard yet? I don't think so. He looks like a rat peering out of a drain pad. Definitely worth a watch. Yep, it is worth a watch. But as I said, I don't believe Andrew Luck is playing in this football game. And Atlanta should have all of its people ready to go. Devontae Freeman has the third most rush yards from scrimmage, just behind Adrian Peterson. I don't know who second is, but I know that Freeman is third. I like the Falcons. I don't like the point spread. It's a six-point spread. This kind of seems like a field goal game to me, but we'll take the Falcons for the win. The Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Eagles coming off that disappointing loss at the hands of the Miami Dolphins. Tampa Bay using some last-minute help from the referees to give them a 10-6 win over the Dallas Cowboys. But I like Philadelphia. Philadelphia needs to bounce back, and they need to bounce back in a bad way. Just don't think Tampa Bay has the offense needed to be able to stick with Philadelphia. And I don't care if it's Bradford or if it's Mark Sanchez for the Eagles, which we still don't know the extent of Bradford's injuries. I'm going to say Philadelphia will get the win. Finally, in the final game of the week, the third game that we differ on, JD and I, the Carolina Panthers hosting the Washington Redskins. Washington Redskins coming off that thumping, and I'm talking about thumping, of the New Orleans Saints. Carolina is 7-point favorite at home. Carolina remains the lone undefeated team in the NFC. The other undefeated team, the Patriots, over in the AFC. And although I see the Patriots getting their first loss this week, I don't see Carolina losing here to Washington. JD, however, differs. He's got the Washington Redskins, but in his read-up, he says, okay, don't judge me on this one. Remember the bit where I said I hadn't revisited these picks? Well, now I'm wondering what exactly I was drinking when I made them. Wood alcohol, perhaps. I suppose it's too late to change it, but this pick isn't going to happen, and I'm willing to take the loss. But please don't make it the challenge game. He doesn't want me to make it. You know what? I just changed to the Minnesota Vikings from Green Bay. JD, send me an email after you listen to this. If you want to change your pick to Carolina, you can. I promise I won't make it the challenge game, although I should. I should make it the challenge game right now and lock you into it, because there's no way Washington beats Carolina. Not going to happen. All right. We won't do that. If you want to change the pick, go ahead. You can do that. Which then it seems we both have Carolina. I'll let you verify that for me, JD. But I think the Panthers will win, and I think they'll win big. Let's move on to games of interest. All right, folks, I've been going for just a little under 30 minutes. I'm going to have to move a little bit quickly through the rest of these picks, as I need to get moving. Big week ahead here. Now let's start with the Chicago Bears hosting the Denver Broncos. Denver is a dog, a road dog. Their Bears are favored by 1.5. I suspect this has to be because Brock Osweiler is getting the start instead of Peyton Manning. It doesn't matter who's under center. The Bears have had two pretty big wins, but they were against the Chargers, who I think only have two wins. And last week, them beating the Rams, game got away from them, and Nick Foles just never looked really good. So the Bears took advantage of that. I don't think Cutler gets the best of this Denver Broncos defense. They're going to turn it up a notch, knowing that they're going to have to support Brock Osweiler in the offense. I like Denver, and so does JD. Next game, we differ on, though. The Houston Texans, fresh off that win, are at home. Coming on the road, the New York football Jets. The Jets right now are struggling. Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though it's not his throwing arm, he is definitely trying to protect that hand that's got a bad broken busted thumb. I think Jets struggle in this one on the road. Houston is going to use the momentum from their Monday night win against the Cincinnati Bengals to propel them in this one. They'll get after Fitzpatrick defensively. It's not going to be a pretty game. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you folks. It won't be pretty. It'll be ugly. It'll be low scoring. But I'll take Houston in the low scoring game, regardless of it's TJ Yates or Brian Hoyer. JD likes the New York Jets. Real quickly, let's see what JD has to say about those Jets and why he feels the Jets will get the win over Houston. Jets have the better record, and I really don't rate the Texans. Sorry. Their running game is past it. Their throwing game is ... Well, it makes me chuckle every time. Someone really needs to photograph a big wheel of QBs into O'Brien's office. He's following the Burton Meckle thing that a blindfolded monkey throwing darts at the Wall Street Journal is able to pick more profitable stocks than people trying to do it logically. He's a blindfolded monkey. That's what he is. Yeah, well, you know, it's true. But Brian Hoyer gets hurt. In comes TJ Yates. And they beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Go figure. Whatever it is, it isn't working. And it's not going to work. At least the Jets have some coherence. That being said, how the hell the Texans beat the Bengals, I've got no idea. And riding high on that could pull it out of the bag. But it would crack me. But I wouldn't crack open the champagne just yet. I don't think they're going to crack open champagne either. But I think they'll get enough in this one to beat the Jets. Final two games of interest. The Kansas City Chiefs travel to San Diego to face the San Diego Chargers. We both got Kansas City. We like the Chiefs to take care of business on the road. I'm sorry. Just San Diego's got nothing. They got nothing. Nothing. Phillip Rivers is throwing to Antonio Gates and a bunch of scrubs. And I'm sorry. That's what I'm calling them. They're scrubs. I have no idea what their name is. Inman, Scootybops, and Fandango, and whatever the other dude's name is. I don't even think Phillip Rivers knows what their names are. And you can't win football games when you don't know who you're throwing the football to. So I like Kansas City, and so does JD. Final game of the interest that we differ on, the Miami Dolphins hosting the Dallas Cowboys. As I said already, Dallas gets Tony Romo back. Tony Romo's back, people! I'm going to go down with the ship. I've got the Dallas Cowboys because the time is now. I firmly believe, first of all, that if Tony Romo had played in the last seven games, the Dallas Cowboys are 8-1 or at worst 7-2 instead of the 2-7 that they're sitting in now. Just because five out of those seven losses, they lost by 7 points or less. And I truly believe that for this football team, Tony Romo is worth at least 10 points. That being said, those five losses where they lost by seven or less, they win by 10 points or a touchdown at least. He's back. So he's going to prove my theory right or wrong here. Here are the Miami Dolphins. They're struggling as well. They got a heroic victory over the Philadelphia Eagles last week. Can they pull it out again? Dallas knows. They lose one more game. Close up shop. It's over. It's done. They got to win football game. They got to play one and done from here on out. Just one game. We got to win it. Move on. One game. We got to win it. Move on. They got to do that and get on a nice 5-6 game winning streak. That's what needs to happen for them to even have a shot to think about the playoffs. It's got to start this week with their guy back. They've made some changes. I think the offense, I'll guarantee you this much. The offense will not score less than 20 points in this football game. That's how big a difference Tony Romo is for that offense, where in the last several weeks they've scored 6, they've scored 10, they've scored 12. You're not going to beat teams with those kind of scores. With Tony Romo at the helm, this offense moves a lot better. It runs more efficiently. And even though Miami has a pretty good defense, I don't think they'll be able to get out of him because I think they're going to want to get the football out of Tony's hands real quickly. So he's going to make quick throws, quick passes. I like Tony Romo and the Cowboys in this one. And I'm going to make it the challenge again because I'm going to go down with the ship. If Dallas is going down, I'm going down with the ship. So JD's got Miami. So there you go. I'm going to lock it in. I'm even going to give him a reply. I should take Carolina as the challenge game, but I think he wanted to change that pick, so I'm going to let him. Miami, lock it in. They're not going to beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to turn it around right now. Nap games, real quickly. Tennessee at Jacksonville. We both have the Jags. Oakland at Detroit. We both have the Raiders. San Francisco at Seattle. We both have Seattle getting back to winning ways because the San Francisco 49ers just don't got nothing. And finally, the St. Louis Rams at Baltimore. We will have the Rams to win with Case Keenum at the helm instead of Nick Foles. All right, folks. JD, thank you very much for getting all of these fun, funny one-liners into the show. I appreciate your feedback, and thank you for being the guest picker. Everyone else, if you want to be the best guest picker, make sure you get out to NFLRNR.com/pick'em and put your picks in. Once again, JD, we differ on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. 6 if you stay with Washington over Carolina. 5 if you move over to Carolina. I am making Dallas at Miami the challenge game. I've got the Cowboys. You've got Miami. As I said, if they go down, I'm going down with the ship. Thank you very much. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Stephen Miranda, and I'm out.